Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your mercy, for your patience, for your grace, for your generosity, for your power in our lives, Father. I pray that as we look at your word and consider our lives tonight, that you would help us to see ourselves the way you see us, help us to identify the things where we need to change, and help us to have the courage and the conviction and the character to make those changes. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, recently we had a new sister baptized. I think everybody saw her stand up on Sunday. Dina. What's Dina's last name? Dina Lashoy. I'll say Dina. Dina, and of course, you know, we've had a number of college students baptized, some other folks baptized over the last few months. And, you know, every time one of those people gets baptized, we always ask them two questions, don't we? Okay, what are those two questions? Good confession and, yeah. So, you know, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And the good confession is, what is the good confession?
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord, okay. And, you know, they're not complicated questions, are they?
No.
But they have they're immensely profound. How many of us, raise your hand if you've made that good confession, Jesus is Lord, okay? Look around you, okay? Whole bunch of people got their hands up, all right? Thank you. Every time somebody gets baptized, we ask them that question. You know, they have to make Jesus Lord in order to be baptized. And, you can be flipping over to Matthew chapter 7. We'll start out there. But we've all said Jesus is Lord, haven't we? And, you know, the real question is, how's that going? That's what tonight's about. If you want a title for this class, it's Lordship. Okay. So what does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? Jesus gives us a pretty good summary of it here. Matthew 7, verse 21, starting in verse 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." You know, that's got to be one of the most sobering passages in the Bible. And, you know, the reason I want to look at it here tonight is for us to consider the implications of this passage in our own lives. There's two kinds of people that are saying, Lord, Lord, right? There's one kind who's doing the will of the Father, and one that's not, right? And those two people have a very different destination that they're headed towards, don't they? Okay, says, only those who do the will of the Father are going to go into the kingdom of heaven. The others, there's going to be people who show up at judgment fully expecting to be allowed in, and they're not going to get in. You know, they thought they were. Their reaction is going to be, you know, Father, I thought that look at all these things I did. Wasn't I one of your children? Wasn't, yeah. What's God going to say? I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Okay? So it's two different. There's going to be some people that are going to be horribly surprised at judgment. Why do you think Jesus said this? What do you think? It's a warning? I mean, this is some pretty stark words coming out of Jesus. You know, some pretty, you know, there's a lot of things he could have said at the end of the sermon. This is towards the end of a sermon. A lot of things he could have said there. But what he did say was, you better not just be listening to this sermon. Don't go home and say, boy, that was a good sermon. Boy, does he have some interesting things to say. Better not be doing that. Okay. When we come to church and we hear a sermon, when Richard preaches one of these great sermons, what do you do with it when you go home? Say, boy, that was a great sermon, good church service, what's for lunch? You know, is that what happens? You know, do we change when we hear the Word of God? You know, Jesus had just gotten through preaching a sermon. You know, what is the will of God? Well, a good start is, what did he just got through preaching about, right? Because this is his summary of his sermon. He says, now that you've heard my sermon, are you going to do it or not? That's really what this is about. And it says, it really makes a big difference to you whether you do it or not. You know, it's definitely, I mean, let me tell, he's helping us out by telling us before it's too late. Okay, you'd better be doing the things that you're hearing. Okay, so Jesus said these things as a warning to help us to escape the consequences of not obeying his word. So the question is, which kind are you? You know, we all hope that we're one of the ones that are doing His will, right? But what makes you think you're one of those? How do you know? Pretty important question, right? Pretty important. We got to figure out, you know, sometime in this life, what does it mean to do the will of the Father? You know, flip over to Luke chapter 12. If I could get somebody to read for me verses 4 and 5. Luke 12, 4 and 5. Go ahead, Todd.
I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him.
You know, that's not the tone of saying that people in the general religious world today thinks of when they think of Jesus, is it? What does he say? He says, don't fear man, fear God who can throw you into hell, right? And he says, yes, I tell you, fear him. I didn't use the wrong word. Fear. Okay, we need to have fear of God. We need to tremble at the thought of being in opposition to God. We need to not dare go there. You know, that doesn't mean that we can't approach His throne with confidence. That doesn't mean that we can't have a relationship with Him and trust Him and go to Him when we have need. What it does mean is don't even think about crossing Him. Don't even think about taking Him lightly or brushing Him off. You know, we do need to have fear of the Lord. When God says something, we need to do it. I'll give you a sort of an illustration. I'm in a new job. Started a new job about a month ago with Juniper Networks, and so I'm scrambling, trying to learn all this stuff trying to jump on a moving train. Basically, it's moving pretty fast, and so I had this this project handed to me that I'm trying to figure out how to do, and who do I talk to figure out how to do it, and the vice president gave it to me. He's a pretty high up in the company, pretty important guy, pretty busy guy. And he says, here, take this, go solve this problem. And so I'm trying to figure it out. So he said, okay, what I need you to do is I need you to get these three vice presidents together for a meeting, and y'all go figure out what our next step is and then come back, okay? Well, so I call those people together. I included also my boss who works under this same vice president, of course. And so anyway, so what ended up happening was, we had the meeting. My boss was on the plane, so he didn't get in until the last 2 minutes. And he called me right after the meeting. He says, you didn't invite that vice president to the meeting. I said, well, I didn't know I was supposed to. He says, he's not going to be happy about that. Let me tell you, it's like he's a control guy. He's going to be real upset with you. Let me tell you what you need to do. He says, you need to write him an email right now as soon as we get off the phone, and then you need to call him, and you need to apologize for leaving him out of that meeting. I've been here for a month. I got this guy, So basically, there's a little fear there, right? But, my boss is trying to help me out. So I say, okay, I'm going to do exactly what he said. I called him up. And basically what he did was he first said, why didn't you call me into that meeting? And I told him, I said, well, I had no idea. He says, this is my biggest weakness. I'm still trying to figure out who's who in the company and who do I need to pull in and who covers what things. And so then he says, okay, well, if you had a good outcome from that meeting, everything's forgiven. So I told him how the meeting went, and he said, well, good job. He sent my boss an email, said, good job. But there was some fear there, And what did that fear cause me to do? One thing it caused me to do is to do exactly what I'd been told to do. All right? And to do it humbly, to go in there and say, I blew it, I'm sorry, it won't happen again, That's what fear causes you to do when you go up to an authority figure in a posture of fear. How do you approach God? Okay. I mean, surely I ought not to be more afraid of that vice president than I am of the creator of the universe that's going to judge my soul, right? Okay. So, what are we going to do when we face God? How are we going to, we're going to all tremble. We're going to all fall down trembling. But let's face reality now so that that can go well, so we can get that attaboy at the end of that meeting, right? Okay. So so what is His will? Again, a good start is what's happening in Matthew 5-7. Now we're getting ready to have, he's got some brothers preparing to do a Sermon on the Mount class. So that's all I'm going to say out of the Sermon on the Mount. I'm setting you up for them. But when they read you something out of the Sermon on the Mount, just remember when they're reading it, Jesus said, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, goes to heaven, but only ones that do the will of the Father. When those brothers are up there teaching that class, don't just be listening casually. You're getting a preview of judgment. You have an opportunity here to evaluate yourself and say, okay, Lord, what do I need to do? I'm going to do exactly what you say. Help me to do that. Okay, so that's coming. But we're not going to stop there. You know, we just cover, there's other parts of the Bible. Do you know, I'll just give you a couple of references, and you know these passages. Acts 20, verses 26 and 27, Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, he told them, he set the example for them, set his example before them for them to follow. He says, you know, I declare to you the whole will of God. Hebrews 13, 17 talks about leaders, says that we're going to have to give an account. So I'm going to say some tough things here tonight. And I want you to understand, I'm saying these things because this is not a game for me. I'm going to be judged. And I need to obey what God has told me to do. And as I teach you these things, as I remind you of these things, these are not all going to be brand new things you've never thought of before. But as I remind you of these things, I hope you'll take it that same way. Because it's not a game for you either. There's a real consequence, an eternal consequence to what we're talking about tonight. So I am going to ask some tough questions. If you were in my shoes, you'd ask some tough questions too. Okay. One day, you know, you may be asking those tough questions to somebody. So, you know, are we doing the will of the Father in heaven? Let me tell you some things that I hear. Okay, getting real, real practical here. Okay, I hear some things. You know, I hear about people that are not making time for discipling relationships. People that, I'm just too busy, I can't get with you. And, you know, time after time after time, somebody's trying to get with you to help you, and you don't have time for that. How do you think God feels about that? You know, it's like, how important is this to you? Matthew 8, verses 21 and 22, Jesus said, another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. He says, if you got 10 things to do in a day, and you got time to do four of them, this has to be one of the four. Okay? He says, you come follow me. You come be a disciple. Don't put that off until it becomes convenient, because Satan will manage to arrange for it not to be convenient. You know, you're basically turning yourself into Satan if you do that. You're going to have to make it a priority to have a relationship with somebody that's going to help you get to heaven, to obey those passages about one another. Amen. So I'm just enumerating a few things here that I hear. Okay, people not making time for discipling relationships. I hear marriage problems. Okay, we got marriages with conflict. We got marriages where the wife is not feeling radiant. She's feeling kind of beaten down or frustrated. Or how's your wife feeling? How's your relationship with your wife? You know, I even hear about, you know, infidelity. I hear about people talking about divorce. And you know what? If Jesus is Lord, would I be hearing that kind of talk? You know, if Jesus is Lord, divorce is not in your vocabulary. Okay, that's not even an option. You know, if Jesus is Lord, you're looking for ways to make your wife radiant. Like we talked about in a marriage retreat a couple of years ago, you know, of taking stress off of her. Helping her to be unstressed, helping her, she can't be radiant if she's like stressed and frustrated. Okay? So helping your wife out to feel loved and taken care of and supported and radiant. But that's not what I'm hearing sometimes. Okay? I guess those are the ones that come to me, you know, is the cases that need that. And, you know, let me say this. Some of you guys I know are doing awesome at everything I'm talking about here today. If you are, if you're one of those people, then what this message is for is to help you see the needs around you, okay? Because we're supposed to encourage one another and help one another and build one another up and consider how to build one another up before we come to church. So as I'm talking about these things, think about that. Think about, okay, first of all, think about yourself. If you can only save one soul, make it your own. Okay? Okay? But if you got these things on straight, then help the person next to you, you know, the other person. Look for that other person that needs help in these areas. Because we all, you know, we all have a role in this. Okay? So there's the husbands and wives. The third thing that I hear, and you know, this is a room full of men here, I hear about men who are just addicted to pornography. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. That is, what you're doing is you're drinking poison. Right. You're taking it into your life. You're wrecking your life. You don't feel good about yourself when you do it. And, you're just making it harder to say no the next time. Okay? You know, there's a lot of things you can do to help yourself overcome that. Now, again, if Jesus is Lord, if you're going to face judgment one day and he's going to say, you know, are you one of the ones who did the will of the Father? This is a pretty clear one, isn't it? Okay? If I'm going to do the will of the Father, you got to get control over that. So, you know, here's some ideas. Fast from television.
Amen.
All right? You know, get out of the room with the television set. Quit watching. You know, the commercials were worse than the TV shows, you know. Just get away from it. Fast from the Internet. Okay, you think, oh, I can't do that. I have email or something, you know. Well, you know, fast from the Internet except when your wife's standing next to you.
Come on.
You know, fast from the Internet unless, you know, if you need to get your email, call a brother and say, I got to do email. Come help me. Come watch me while I do it. You know, and, you know, where's your conviction about getting out of that sin? Get out of the house. You know, get away from it. Just go out and find some place in public where you can serve somebody or where you can do something constructive with your life. Schedule your evenings with brothers. You know, don't stay at home by yourself. Singles, especially singles, you know, go find somebody to spend your time with that's spiritual, that's going to help you. Use your time to serve others. You know, there's always somebody in the church that needs to be served. If you have trouble thinking of who that might be, come talk to me. Come talk to Danny. Come talk to any of us. You know, find somebody you can serve. There's people that you could do that and take your time that you might otherwise be falling into sin, and do something that's according to the will of the Father. Something that counts on that side of the ledger. Okay, how about confess your sins to one another and pray for one another? You know, there's a remarkable idea. You know. You know, it's not rocket science. We all have heard that. But, you know, you go confess your sins to one another. You pray for one another. You encourage one another. You know, somebody comes to you and confesses sin. I don't want to hear about you beating them up over it, because then they won't come the next time. All right? I want you to pray with them. I want you to help them get conviction. But you are their brother. You're there to help them. And so when they walk away, they feel built up, not torn down. They felt torn down before they came to you. Okay? But, so, having heard that, now if you're the guy that needs to go do that, it should be safe. Go to that person. Confess your sin. And, you know, let's make it reciprocal. You know, let's both talk about, here's where I need your prayers. But that's what discipling is about. That's what helping one another to make it to heaven is all about. And now, how about scripture memorization? Okay, you know, how many of y'all were in Danny Doble's class a couple of weeks ago about Psalm 119? How many? Most of you. You know, some of you may have been teaching or in a different class. But Danny was talking about storing up scriptures in your heart that you might not sin. Okay, and I don't know. I went back to the online audio and tried to capture all those verses. He didn't have them written down. He was quoting them. He was quoting phrases from them. He was just referring to them one after another after another. Can you do that? Okay. I'm going to give you a list, and then we're going to go take a look at them. Okay. Well, the reason I'm giving you the list first is I want you to write them down. I want you to memorize them. If you haven't memorized these, then you need to. If you have, brush up on it. Okay. Job 31, verse 1. We're going to turn to these in a minute, but we're just going to write them down right now. Job 31, 1, that's about covenant, making a covenant with your eyes. Matthew 5, 28, about looking on a woman lustfully. Proverbs 5, verse 8, keep your path far from her. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, take every thought captive. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, if you're tempted, there's a way out. Ephesians 5, 3, not even a hint of sexual immorality. Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 5, not conducting yourself in passionate lust like the heathen. James 1:19, quick to listen, slow to speak. That one's on a different subject, but it's another scripture that can come to your mind and help you to stay out of sin. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. That helps in a lot of things. That helps in all kinds of areas. Set your mind on things above, Colossians 3:2. And then James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Okay? Somebody have a favorite one that I didn't list? That's a quick question to get your mind on it. Is there a favorite one I didn't list? you know, we can help each other out. That's not all the scriptures in the Bible on this subject. But let's just look at a few of these. Who can read for me Job 31, verse 1? And again, I want you to memorize them. Store them up in your heart. Meditate on them. Pull them out when you're being tempted. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl.
Okay. Have you done that? Made a covenant with your eyes that I'm not going to look lustfully at a woman? Okay. You know, it's a decision you make. It's a promise you make to yourself that I'm not going to do that. That's just not something I'm going to get involved in. Okay. Let's see. Let's go look at, and there's a bunch. We can look at all of them, but we won't take all that. About Ephesians 5:3. Okay.
It says, But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity of or greed, because they are improper for God's people.
Okay. Not even a hint. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed. Not even a hint. So you have to ask yourself, okay. He says, he doesn't say, you know, it'd be good to strive for that. There must not be even a hint. Okay. If there's a hint, get rid of it. It's standing between you and doing the will of the Father. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 5. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 5. Yes, John.
It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who did not know God.
Okay. You know, what was it that God said to those people when they came up to him? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. You know, somehow I think if you know God, he's going to know you, right? You don't want to be one of those people who doesn't know God. Those people who are conducting their lives in passionate lust. Memorize that passage and meditate on it. Don't, you know, it says, that's the way I used to be. That's not the way I'm going to be. Just, you know, you make a decision that's going to change. And these scriptures can help you. We'll look at one more. James 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. Mike.
Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
All right, resist the devil, and now that sounds like a promise, doesn't it? That sounds like hope. That sounds like there's a way out. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, the devil is more powerful than you are, but when you resist him, he flees from you. Not because you're all that, but because God is with you. Okay, so resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, that gives you hope. You can overcome these things. Okay, now, so again, I encourage you. I urge you to memorize these passages. And let me tell you what you can do. You can get you some 3x5 note cards. Right. Write them out on those note cards. Carry them around in your pocket. You know, pull them out when you got a spare moment, especially if you're being tempted. But pull them out, and memorize them. When you see a brother, drill each other on them. You know, we used to do that when I was in college. We'd always be carrying around this deck of scriptures, and we'd be drilling each other on them every time we got together. You know, that's a great thing to do in discipling times, you know. Yeah. Get together, study the scriptures, memorize the scriptures together. Okay, it's what David did. He says, "I've stored these things up in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you." Okay, that's what it's for. That's how you do it. Okay, so another slice at this. What does Jesus as Lord mean? Okay, are we really living as Jesus as Lord? What I'm going to do now is give you a pop test. So if you don't already have a piece of paper out, get a piece of paper. This is a pop test that you're going to take home with you. You're not going to turn it in. I want you to write down real answers, okay? And I want you to think about the answers. And then, you know, this is just kind of a barometer to see, okay, how am I doing on this Jesus is Lord thing?
Amen.
Okay? So here's the question. What have you read in your Bible this week? Just real quick, write down, what have you read in your Bible this week? You can write a notation. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another." Well, the word of Christ needs to dwell in you richly. That involves reading it, right? Okay. All right. So number two. Am I giving you enough time? Number two. What have you done this week as a direct result of reading your Bible? Okay, you read your Bible. Now that you know, as Jesus said in John 13:17, he says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The blessings don't come from knowing, they come from doing what you know. Okay. So what have you done this week as a direct result of reading your Bible? Okay. Number three, how much time have you spent praying this week? You know, just real quick, you know, estimate. How much time have you spent praying this week? Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer. So evaluate yourself. Is that what I just wrote down? Is that what devoting yourself to prayer looks like? Okay. How did you spend your time after work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? So, and you know, there's an assumption in that question that you work during the day and then you come home for the evenings. If you're not doing that, adjust the question to your life situation. But what have you been doing with your spare time this week? Have you been doing things for the Lord? Or has it been all about me? Who is your Lord? Who are you living for? Okay. Not saying it's wrong to have some recreational time, but you ought to be able to put down some things Amen. That you did for God. Okay, this week.
Amen.
Okay. I'll just mention Colossians 4:5 talks about making the most of every opportunity. You know, you've had some opportunities this week. That's what we're evaluating. Okay. Number five. This is for the married. So if you're not married, then you get a pass on this one. How have you treated your wife this week? Okay. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." So how are you doing that this week? All right, number six, and this is for everybody. How has your purity been this week? This week, we've talked about this some, but you know, and the reference again, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. You know, we've talked about that. How has your purity been? Rate yourself. Okay. Number seven. Who in the church have you served this week? Who in the church have you served this week? So 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So, you know, have you laid down your life for your brothers this week? Okay. Okay, number eight. Who have you served in the name of Jesus outside the church this week? In the name of Jesus outside the church this week. Again, Colossians 4:5 says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Okay, so have you done at serving people outside the church this week? Okay, number nine. What have you done to spread the gospel this week? Okay. You know plenty of verses for that one, right? Be wise in the way you act towards the outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. That works for that too, doesn't it? Okay. And then number 10, who is your discipling partner, and when did you last have a real talk about your life? You ought to be able to write down a name and write down the last time you had one of those conversations. Okay. Okay. Colossians 3:16, it's a good one for that. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. That ought to be happening. Okay. So how are you doing with that? All right. So that was 10. That was a pop test. You know, take that home and pray about it. How are you doing? Could you hold up that piece of paper and say, Jesus is Lord? How's it happening in your life? Excuse me, number nine? Number nine was sharing, what have you done to share the gospel, spread the gospel this week? You know. Gary.
Go over the list of the memory verses one more time, a little bit slower.
All right, here's some memory verses. Job 31:1. Matthew 5:28. Proverbs 5:8. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Ephesians 5:3. Ephesians 5:11. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 5. James 1:19. James 4:17. Colossians 3:2. And James 4:7. So basically, again, we start out on Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So, you know, I'm saying these things to you tonight to try to help you out, okay? I hope that that's how you're taking it. And, you know, whether we're doing great and we're on cloud nine spiritually, whether we're somewhere, you know, maybe, I don't know what you scored on that test, you know, you may not have gotten all 10 of them this week because it's only Thursday, you know, but you should be able to see from those answers what the pattern is in your life. And you know whether this week is like last week or not, you know, and you can do that, but based on that, evaluate yourself. How is it going in my life? Is Jesus Lord? And what am I resolved to do about what I figured out tonight? Okay, what am I going to do about that? I would like to urge you, we're going to break up a few minutes early here. We're going to have some fellowship time. But class is not over, okay? Find somebody in here that you can talk to about these things. You know, go have a serious talk. You got, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And just, you know, get started at making some commitments, making some decisions that you're going to live with Jesus as your Lord. Okay. Let's close out with a prayer. Father, we are grateful that you are so patient with us. We're grateful that you are so clear with us. And Father, we're grateful for your grace. Father, I pray that as we consider these things, that you will help us to make the decisions, to make the commitments. Help us to help each other to make those commitments and decisions. And Father, I pray that we'll all draw closer to you and that we'll all live in a way that we'll be able to say in the end, that you'll be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we need you. We love you. Help us to do these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.